You're with Stateside. I'm April Baer. We've reached the week that Michigan schools were asked to aim for when Governor Gretchen Whitmer called for a return for some face-to-face learning.
Today, my administration is announcing a goal that all school districts offer an option for in-person learning no later than March 1st and earlier if possible. The value of in-person learning for our kids is immeasurable.
Whether kids in your community are back in a classroom or not, the pandemic has had some serious mental health consequences. There's the strain and uncertainty at home, limited contact with friends, the loss of school routines. It all takes a toll. That's especially true for those who are already in more vulnerable situations. What can parents and other adults do to help their children live with the uncertainty of this pandemic? Erin Hunter is interim director of the University Center for the Child and Family at the University of Michigan. Erin, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you for having me back.
We spoke to you a bit earlier in the pandemic, and I was just wondering if we could start by talking about the kids that you work with, what kinds of things they're saying right now, what kinds of things you find them dealing with.
The crazy thing about this past year is that so much has changed, and yet nothing has seemed to change as much. And I think that that's true in all things, including what I'm hearing kind of from my clients as well as in my own life. What we've been seeing, especially over the last year, is a lot more, I think, just in general, anxiety and stress across all family members, including kids in all ages. Of course, kids at different ages are going to show that stress in different ways. So for some, it might be a little bit more behavioral, where they might be kind of throwing things or getting in more fights with their siblings or talking back to parents more, refusing to do assignments, refusing to log on to Zoom, perhaps. Whereas in others, it might be kind of, you know, more crying or kind of more worrying, wanting to check in, wanting to be closer to parents. But I think just across the board, just like there's been high levels of stress and anxiety. And I think just some, you know, ongoing sadness and some depressed mood that is creeping in too, just as people start to feel a little bit hopeless, although there's been silver linings as well. But it's a long slog.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point and sometimes hard to remember in the moment that, like, a third grader is not necessarily going to come at you with, I'm feeling really insecure and frightened right now. they're going to manifest in different ways.
If only that would make parenting so much easier. But I mean, even I feel like myself, even as an adult and as a therapist, sometimes I'm just cranky and I'm being maybe more irritable with other people. And then I'm just like, oh, I'm stressed out right now. Yeah, but again, in younger kids, it's much less likely that they're going to have that kind of emotional awareness or insight to be able to directly express. So instead, they're just going to maybe huff off and slam their door.
You mentioned friends, and I know that there's so, so many kids out there who are really missing their friend groups. What do you observe it's been like for parents to try to fill that gap right now?
I just think it's been really hard. I think parents are feeling a whole range of emotions. Sadness, I see guilt in parents. Like, parents are feeling that they're supposed to be able to make it up to their kids or kind of cover that space, when the thing is that, you know, you know, you can do things to engage with your kid, but you're not going to be another kid that their age that they're engaging with in the same level. You know, with what families are talking about, they're doing the best that they can, either by Zooming, trying to do some Zoom kind of social time with kids. I see a lot of parents being very creative about trying to find outdoor things, even in the winter. I think actually getting some snow is great, because then I heard many more people talking about being able to sled. So I do think that some of the snow and even a change in scenery with that and being able to do some sledding, of course, as the spring comes, which is nice to get more sunshine, but it is then muddy and mucky and not as easy to just be easily outside and playing with friends as it is in the summer or even in the winter when you can sled.
How would you describe the way that all the stress is impacting family dynamics?
I think that basically what's been happening is that families have been put in kind of a pressure cooker, because all of the things are happening in the context of the family, you know, like school, work, social interactions, all of the emotions, and it's hard to get a break from one another. Family dynamics are always complex, because there's many different kind of roles that people and families have together. And I think that with the pressure that the pandemic has been putting on, it just, you know, it's like the good times are even better, but then the hard times are harder. And if there's already some conflict, I think just people are much more likely to erupt at members in their family. So I do think that there's been more conflict, and just even it's harder to get space from one another, even with younger kids. That, you know, now I have my because I have a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old boy, and they share a room right now. And for the first time ever, my 9-year-old's talking about how he wants his own room. And I think it's just because he feels like he doesn't have space. And I think that's what I'm hearing from a lot of clients as well. Just like, it's hard to find space when we've been together for going on a year now.
No kidding. I've heard a certain name ascribed to some of this, pod fatigue. And some people say that in terms of the friend group that you've committed to sticking with. But I'm sure that's true within families as well.
There's pod fatigue and family fatigue. Yes.
Well, okay. So we're here. We're in the same living spaces that we always were. What kinds of things do you say to people who do need like some way to get away from each other when they can't really get away from each other?
Well, and this is where I think trying to get a little bit creative and go with what works, and it's going to be different for every person. So I think it's important to tailor it to the family. You know, houses are different, people are different. But I think, where can you take space where you're able to? And if it is that maybe, you know, there's a space where there's really not a ton of room, where can you create a little bit cubby, maybe even putting up a sheet or a blanket in a corner to make a little bit of a space, and the kid might be able to go in there with some headphones and listen to music of their liking or listen to an audiobook, but being able to get a little bit of a respite from the rest of the family in that space. Even at my house, what we did over the weekend, we took one of our closets and we moved things out of the closet to create it into a little bit of a take space place for my kids, for when they need a space from one another. You know, and I think that as it gets warmer, like if you can go outside, is there a space that you can go outside? But I think talking with parents and other family members too, just about how important it is for everyone to be able to have some time alone. Kids need a little bit of time alone as well as time with other people. Parents need some time alone as well as some quality time together as well. And I think that alone space has been harder to get. And I think that is part of the wear that people are experiencing.
I don't think I have ever been so aware of the important qualities of a pillow fort.
Yes. Oh, I love forts. We encourage forts at our house.
Can we talk a little bit about what's going on with older kids right now, too? I mean, obviously, socialization is super important for little ones, but middle school and high school is a time when kids are working to develop their identity beyond the family unit. And as you say, here we are, we can't get away from our families. How do you see that? Are there things you see that doing to older kids?
In some ways, I feel the most for them. And I think even young adults, college students right now, because I think that is a time where, again, they're engaging in identity development. But part of that identity development is exploration and exposing yourself to a broader array of things in the world and a broader way of people, and that there just aren't the same level of opportunities for that now as there have been in the past. And I do think that is wearing a lot. I mean, I think the other thing is during those years, you become very aware of your peers and kind of what they're doing. And it's very natural during those years to, I think, do a little bit of comparison. What are they doing? What does that mean about me and who I am? And there tend to be some anxieties that, you know, that are kind of normative that go along with that. And one of the things that I'm seeing that I think is really hard is almost that anxiety is exacerbated because you're not getting as much information as you normally would. Preteens, teens are craving that socialization, but then also feeling much more awkward and anxious when they are having that time. And even over Zoom, I'm seeing just like, you know, preteens, teens being much more anxious about being on screen, seeing them on screen, how to do it. And honestly, I get it, because I do think that our social norms are changing. And even when you see one of this with masks, you can't go up and give them a hug, or, you know, that our social norms are changing. And for those preteens and teens where the social world is so very important, I think it wears on them even more than it does on adults and younger kids.
It occurs to me that a lot of young people are, you know, have grown up very aware of appearance you know, looking at other people on social media and sort of thinking about how they look, which is not a thing for every kid, but that's just got to be – that's got to be doing a number on kids who are interacting with their friends entirely on screens right now.
Well, and that's where you're going to get the most exposure to the most range of people is kind of through social media. And so, again, I think that that is going to be hard. And I think that, you know, kids also know that that is not necessarily the whole story, but then they don't have more of the whole story to go by. The other thing in the social world that I've heard kind of parents be concerned about, too, is even gaming. And because gaming is a way to stay connected with friends right now, where you might be able to go online and play a game together, which is actually a great way to kind of stay connected. But then I also hear parents being concerned about their kids being on gaming or on their computers like all the time, either on social media or on gaming. And I do think it's just we're kind of between a rock and a hard place, because that is a way to get that, and that it has some downsides. And I think for me, like, we're in the situation now, and I think one thing is, how are we going to help ourselves adjust out of it? So that when we are able to have more socialization as school starts to move back into hybrid or full-time. And I think that I have some ideas, but I think that it's something that we're all going to be going through an adjustment period as we transition back into more live interactions. That is also going to be, it's going to be wonderful and also challenging.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Erin Hunter, Interim Director of the University Center for the Child and Family at the University of Michigan. Well, let's talk about that a bit. Like you say, plenty of kids are already back at least a couple days a week, and some are just transitioning back. How do you prepare a kid for limited interaction with their friends that they've been missing so much?
I think that one thing is just talking to them about it and seeing what questions they have too. I think one thing that adults tend to do with kids is that they tend to use a whole lot of words. And I think that with kids, it's also good to just kind of think about what is the like one or two liner that you want to, like the take home message that you really want to give to them, and then opening it up for them to have questions or see what they're going to do with that. Sometimes just like in the, like the Snoopy, the Peanuts movies, like when the adults are talking and it just goes, wah, 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 wah. I think that the more adults talk to kids, the more it moves into just that wah, wah, and the kids aren't hearing anything.
Yes.
So I think when thinking about preparing for some of that, just saying that, you know, okay, so, you know, you're going to be going back into school, or you're going to go to school 5 days a week instead of 2 days a week, and that, you know, you're still going to have to keep wearing the masks and keeping social distance. I wonder how you're feeling about that or what you think about that. I'm often, even doing my job for as long as I've been doing it, I'm always surprised by how much kids are aware of, how much they already know, and how much they've actually thought about it more. And when we give them space, then we can also, again, not just tell them what to do, but give them space to figure out what to do for themselves.
Yeah. What else is on your mind as kids are maybe heading back into the classroom for the first time?
You know, one of the things, like kind of this adjustment that I was talking about, that I do think that it is going to be adjustment period. And I think that some parents and even some kids are probably thinking, like, I just have to get back into school and then things will be okay. And I do think that it, you know, not that it won't be okay, but it's going to be different. And there might be some more anxiety coming up in the kids, parents, teachers, the whole school system, as we kind of get into that adjustment. And I think, you know, even when we talked before, I think we talked about kind of lowering expectations. And I think coming back to that a little bit is like setting up parents and kids and hopefully teachers as well for realistic expectations. I am imagining there's going to be a few more behavioral issues or even like some social difficulties as kids navigate the situation. And I don't think that that's bad. I think it's just a resettling into the space. And I'm hoping that kids and families and teachers are kind of prepared for that. And I think just kind of like letting people be a little bit distressed as we move into it, and just making space to talk about it as it needs to be talked about. And I think the other thing is creating space for kids to talk doesn't mean that they're actually going to say anything. It's kind of just opening the door and letting the kid decide if they're going to come in. But if they know that there's an open door, it's much better than someone pushing them through. So not forcing the issue, but really just making that space.
You know, we've all been together for so long, and now kids are leaving the house. That might be the first time in a while, and it might not entirely be okay with them. Is there anything we can do about that?
You know, as kids move back into school, especially if they're going back into school for the first time in a year, one of the things that I've been thinking about and trying to talk to families about is, you know, parents might want to give them something of theirs so that, you know, just saying that, like, you know, I put some extra love into this and you can have it. And if you're feeling a little bit unsure or worried or sad or missing me, then you've got a hold of this and you know that it's going to remind, you know, so I'm still with you, even when we're a little bit apart. And then we're going to come back together tonight. So in my family, I purchased these little like wristband things so that everyone in our family has it. And I've been talking about how like this connects us. And then we're always connected because everyone in our family is wearing this wristband. And I think it might just be something that could help kids, especially those ones that have not been in school yet, because that's where I would expect some potential like separation anxiety coming up, especially for younger kids, but maybe for older kids too, as we do this. So just having something to say, like, we're still connected, even though we're not together.
Erin, are there some opportunities here to build resiliency as we start to think about our kids moving back in to social spaces with other people?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that we have been, I mean, this has been really hard times, but I think it's been building resiliency as well. You know, these are going to be times that we talk about, you know, I imagine like when I'm a grandparent someday, if I'm, you know, if my kids decide to have kids, then this is something we're going to be talking about, you know, back in the pandemic, this is what happened. And kids are going to go on to face really challenging things in their life because life has its joys and it always has its challenges as well. And this is something that was thrown at us that, it, you know, we couldn't really be prepared for while we're doing it. And my hope, too, is that kids and kind of parents, families are saying, look what we've made it through. And a year ago, I never would have imagined if you would have said, you know, this is going to go on a year and then it's going to actually your family is going to adjust into it and it's going to be OK. I would have been like, no, I think we will lose our minds. I think I will actually lose my mind and I don't know what I won't be able to be a functioning parent. And I'm at least a mostly functioning parent most of the time, you know, and I do think that it's this, like what we've already been through even is a testament to how we can do hard things. And hopefully they won't have to be this hard in the future. But this is a space for us to kind of learn and grow and kind of take away what we can do. It's easy to focus on the stressors and the negatives, but there's always that other side as well. Because if you're going through a hard thing, there's some resiliency you've gained from it at the same time.
Erin Hunter is the interim director at the University Center for the Child and Family at the University of Michigan. Hey, Erin, it's great to talk to you. Hope you're doing okay.
Thank you. You too.